Because Gentiles were never under law. That we, Gentiles and believers, might receive. Hallelujah. Amen, church. Receive what? Adoption as sons. And now, a Jew who is under the law, the moment he received Jesus Christ, he's no more a child, he's an adult son of God. And you're an adult, and you're slave, the one your father appoints over you. Now this is like drama serial again. You know? Actually, the one appointed wants to take over the company. Alright? But you're a son that's growing up, and he tried to deceive you and all that. Finally, truth wins out. When you're small, he deceived you. Now you're grown up, he cannot deceive you anymore. Okay, y'all don't watch. Okay. That means as sons, mature sons, what can you expect? In Romans 4, it tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons. Who are yours? Adult sons of God. You know, people in church sometimes who are under the law, they say that, I want to be led by the Spirit, I want to be led by... Then these people are the ones that who are led by all kinds of spirits. Do the weirdest things. And I can tell you this, some of the things that I have decided for this church has turned out to produce great blessings. Now, I have my fair share of mistakes down through the years, but I can tell you this, the more I'm walking under grace, the more my decisions become accurate. The more I'm able to come in, now Jeannie is not here, even recently, I was able to look at the true nature of what is happening and be able to see things in a short while. Now, Jeannie is in the office, like, she works very hard. I was going to say 24 hours, but I know that's exaggerating, but a lot of time, you know? And I don't come in as often and as long as her. But she would tell you, even a recent something that happened, I was able to come in, look at the true nature of things, and resolve the thing, and it was proven accurate. I'm telling you, church, the more you come under grace, the more the Spirit of God can lead you. And when the Spirit of God leads you, all right, your decisions become accurate. It's not because you're so smart, or I'm so smart, all right? It's because the Holy Spirit is smart. And when He leads you, He knows how to lead you. He leads you out of bondage into freedom. He leads you out of sickness into health. He always leads you out of debt into prosperity. Like He led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. He will lead you out of your scarcity into the land of plenty. That's the Holy Spirit's nature. He will lead you into all that the flesh would hinder you, all right, from receiving, into the fullness of what He can bring you into. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Unfortunately, in the church today, the Holy Spirit is seen as something the charismatic would say, you know, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then again, the question of how you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is divided. Many places say you must take off your wedding ring, or, you know, because it is your second marriage, you know, before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people say you gotta fast the whole night and you gotta tarry. They call it tarrying meetings. They call it waiting meetings and all that. And all this is error, because the Bible says the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And when Jesus was glorified, Peter preached a message on in the book of Acts where he says that, and this which you see and hear, all right, by the Holy Spirit, is Jesus Christ glorified. And He being glorified, the Father has shed forth. And Jesus told His disciples, wait in Jerusalem and for the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father in the entire Old Testament? What is the promise? The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that causes us to inherit the world. He is the one that leads us into all the riches of God. He is the one that guides us. And if you study the Bible, study in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whatever you do, you cook your meals, be led by the Spirit. Amen. The book says, add this 3 pinch of salt. The Holy Spirit says, add only 2 pinch. Enough. Amen. You follow the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, your husband says, wow, man, you are better than this lady. Hallelujah. Amen. Who wrote the book? And you can write your own book. Amen. Are y'all listening? Are y'all listening? I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit knows how everything works. He knows how God designed your body, all right? He knows the best way to get rid of that belly. He knows the best way to get bargain prices. Amen? Amen? And without compromising quality, the Holy Spirit knows how to bring up children and how to minister to little babies. Man, by the Spirit, He made them all. And God put the Holy Spirit in you. And what is the meaning of the Holy Spirit in us? That means we are so clean by the blood of Jesus that what the Old Testament saints did not have. The Old Testament saints, even David, Elijah, Moses, Isaiah, all the great prophets, Jeremiah, never had the Holy Spirit inside them, dwelling in them permanently. We do! Because the blood of Jesus has so cleansed us, whether we know it, we don't know it, God knows it. And God has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us, and Jesus says, He will abide with you forever! Amen. Hallelujah! Amen! I just told a few leaders, they were fellowshipping with me yesterday. I said, you know, it's good for us to ask questions of God. Because the Holy Spirit is there to answer. Many of the messages I preach, all right, are questions I ask. You have not, because you ask not. Ask God, and don't think for one moment I always receive the answer straight away. But sometimes it's straight away. But sometimes it comes later, but it comes surely. He's there to lead and guide you. Recently I asked the Lord, because I'm one of those, you know, when I have anger in my heart, I straight must forgive. All right, if I put my car to the side, some motorist got me mad. Okay, I make myself mad. You know, the car in front of me so dangerous. And I then get angry. I say, oh man, see, I'm angry. Really. I must get right with God. So I cannot wait, you know, until the journey ends. Because halfway, you're out of fellowship, how? So I must get this right. I must get this bitterness out. And some of you don't care about this, but I care. See? I got a scrupulous conscience. Scruples, you know, bother me. So I parked at the site and I've done this before. Father, forgive so and so just now in Jesus' name, the red van. And after that, the motorist and the second one, and the third one also in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank God it has improved down through the years. All right. But again, I don't like it when I detect anger or bitterness in my heart. I must get settled it. I will go home and I have to forgive. Like, I forgive so and so in the name of Jesus completely now and forevermore in the name of Jesus. Amen. Must do it like that, you know? Then I feel good. All right? But I did not realize that I was doing this. I was getting into the law. That I didn't even allow myself to be human. Every little anger, bitterness, I've sinned. So I asked the Lord, not too long ago, I asked the Lord, because that has been improved a lot, refined to such an extent that I won't explain because you get confused. But anyway, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, to what extent, you know, can I allow the anger to remain? Holy Spirit, teach me, I said. I need to hear from you because I never heard this from any teaching, whatever. And straight away, the Holy Spirit says, all right, look at your Bible. I look at my Bible. You know what it was on? Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Simple as that. He guided me to that passage straight away. And I said, you know what it means or not? You can get angry, but don't sin, okay? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath means don't hold it until tomorrow. Don't hold it until bedtime. Get angry, all right, with your husband or wife, okay, for that day, all right? You got until sundown. Amen? Get it settled with. If you need to speed down ECP to get back to her, to kiss her, do it. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, but I was demanding myself to forgive immediately when I felt the anger. I know most of you don't have a problem with anger. I can see by your faces. But you see, the Holy Spirit taught. He will teach you. You ask Him questions. Why this? You know, the Holy Communion that we are doing in our church came out of a time a few years ago of asking the Lord, what is a way for us to walk in divine life and divine health? Amen. And still, I'm not satisfied. I know that God has more things for us. Amen. You know, like Rebecca, when she was having problems with her womb, she was pregnant, she went to God and says, what is happening, Lord? She inquired of the Lord, and God says, two nations are in your womb. Oh, Pastor, look, pregnant. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah, same also. No, yeah, I'm trying to find what. It's all the same. Okay, anyway. Two nations are in your womb. And the elder will serve the younger, God said. Okay, point all these all the same. Okay, this is good. Ballin is good. Two nations are in your womb. You know, God answered her. God told her the destinies of the children. God told her the destinies of the children before they are born. Now, how many like that? God tell you your children's destiny even before it was born? Think of this. The Bible said Rebecca inquired. If Rebecca didn't inquire, the Bible says Jesus walked in his resurrected form, even Jesus. You say, well, Pastor Prince, that's under the law, under grace. Actually, that's before the law. But let's say about Jesus, even Jesus' resurrected form. The Bible says when he walked with the two on Emmaus, he was about to walk on when they reached their house. It was because they asked him to stay back. He stayed back. Something about the Lord. You gotta say, Lord, with me in my house, no problem. You're gonna bless us like nobody's business. Go ahead. All right? God says, but there'll be persecution. Never mind. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Probably this Sunday or another service, I'll be sharing about how, all right, rich you want to become is really up to you. Really, it's up to you. It's not up to the Lord. Now, if you say, no, give me enough money to keep me humble, God will also answer your prayer. He will answer you. You say, God, because God, I'm afraid of myself, that I'll use that money for bad things. Then God says, okay, he will answer your prayer. How many understand that? He will answer. God did not limit Abraham's prayer. Abraham limited his own prayer. Jabez did not limit any prayer request. Jabez asked God for the biggest things, and the Bible says God gave him what he requested. I stopped knocking the Jabez prayer. You know, there are people writing today knocking against Jabez prayer. Amen. Jabez asked, you didn't? Jabez got it. Why complain when you don't have it? I mean, what's the point of arguing? Arguing cannot meet your needs. Learn from God. Learn from the Holy Spirit. So he's been sent. Hallelujah. Amen, church. Praise the Lord. And in the heart of the believer, he's been sent to convict you of righteousness. You know, all the revelations you hear in this church has come as a result of the Holy Spirit convicting us of righteousness. Amen. He comes to convict you of righteousness. And many a times, the devil will come and accuse us. And then, thanks to some teachers, they make it sound like the devil's accusations is the Holy Spirit's conviction. And the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. In fact, if you look at John 16, I believe it is, it says that the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin, singular, of unbelief in Christ, because they believe not on me. Then, he convicts the believer of righteousness because I go to my Father, Jesus said. Amen? So he always convict you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Can I have a good amen? So we have seen that Abraham, as long as he was nursing and keeping Hagar, the law, in his house, even Sarah was there. So it's a mixture, actually. He had both Sarah and Hagar in the same house, under the same roof. It's a picture of Christianity today. It wasn't like he kept the Hagar alone and kick Sarah out. He didn't. Sarah is still his wife, but he kept Hagar in his house. This represents a Christianity that says, yes, grace, of course we are saved by grace. Grace is the reason why I'm here. Amen. But we still need Hagar. And when you do that, you cannot inherit. This is a mixture. And what's the answer? Galatians says what? Galatians 4 again, just now, cast out the bondwoman. What says the scripture? Just now, verse 21 onwards, yeah. It says it down. Yes. What does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman, Ishmael, shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Just let you know, the word shall not be heir is the strongest negative terms you can find. It's a double negative. There's no way you can inherit if you're under the law. So people will insist to be under the law. If you really insist, go ahead. I will still inherit by the grace of God. Amen. I mean, if you want to hold on to the law, the Bible says you will not inherit, it will hurt you. It will only hurt you. I'm preaching to set you free. If you insist, help yourself finally. But I'm preaching to set you free. Amen. Don't think for one moment that by you keeping the law, you will hurt me. Amen. The Bible says if you insist on keeping the law, as a son of the bondwoman, you shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You will not inherit. Amen. So again, now we bring up the question, what does it mean to be actually under the law? What is the law? The law is man working. Working. Under the law, it's like God stands still and man works. The law begins usually like this. You shall. If you will do this, then God will say, God will do something. If you will, that's the law, the nature of the law. Grace is what? God says, stand still and let me work. I will put my laws in their heart. And that's not the Ten Commandments. He will not use the ministry of death to put in your heart. That's the law of the spirit of life in Christ. It's the law of faith in your heart. The royal law of love in your heart that he writes. And then he says, I'll be your God, and then all your sins are remembered no more. Amen. All the I will of God. That's a new covenant. Because God does everything. What do? We rest. Okay. So when Abraham was 100 years old, God appeared and God says, I am El Shaddai. I am Almighty God. For the first time in scripture, God introduced himself as El Shaddai to a man whose body was dead. 99 years old. All right. His prostate is no more producing. Amen. He's dead in the natural, you understand? So God says, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect in the old King James. And that perfect there is perfect in terms of your conscience, which the New Testament brings out. And then God says, your name shall no more be Abram. Your name shall be Abraham. For a father of multitudes have I made you. Now God changes his name. And in other words, when there's nothing for us to do, Pastor Prince, there's nothing for us to do, but what is our part? There's only one thing you can do. And God doesn't consider it a work. It's an act of faith. Your confession. Your confession of faith. You see, God told Abraham, there's nothing for you to do, but you must change the way you talk. From now on, call yourself Abraham. Let's keep on reading. Then Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, it's a good attitude to have, by the way, fall on your face. There's a picture of man is nothing, God is everything. And God is able to talk with you when you know he's everything. And God talked with him and said, God said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you have become, I'm giving you the Hebrew, the way it's written. You have become a father of many nations. No longer is your name Abram, your name has been Abraham. For I've made you a father of many nations. Have you seen that? Alright, in other words, God, every time he called himself, he introduced himself as what? I am father of many. I am father of many. Notice, that's the only thing he can do. He cannot sleep around with another woman. Number two, Hagar. Another Hagar. He cannot. His body cannot. You understand? Not? You all look at me like kind of strange. Okay, go and find an ape in a kopitiam somewhere. Alright, he will explain to you. Body not as it was before, lah. You know? Make sure it's about 90 years old at least. But not the apex in our church. Watch out for the apex in our church. They've been sitting under grace. Okay? Some of those around you may not look like apex, but their age is apex age. They look younger because they've been sitting under grace. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and see. Maybe it's an apex sitting beside you. Alright? 100 years old and still look young. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the only area, notice God changed what? His mouth. Now here is where God also introduced the circumcision as a covenant. But this is where Paul argued. Did he become righteous after circumcision or before? Before. God pronounced him righteous way before. But circumcision is something in the natural. And what is circumcision a symbol of? It's a symbol of the cutting off of the body of the sins of the flesh through the circumcision of Christ. And that's the teaching in Colossians. Today you don't circumcise yourself physically. Alright? It does not score you any points with God. The Bible says if you are circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Zero. Zero. Alright? But today, by the cross of Christ, circumcision is a picture of putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. In other words, we experience circumcision of the heart, where the sins of the flesh has been removed through the circumcision of Christ. You can find that in Colossians. You can read all about it in Colossians. Okay? Very clear. Now, praise the Lord. How many can see that God really wants us to stand still? Sit still, stand still. Notice in Ephesians, it begins with, we are seated with Christ. Then, the middle portion says, walk. Alright? There at the end it says, stand against the powers of darkness. Do you know all these three acts is rest? Watch me now. Let me ask you, which is harder? Wrestling? Alright? Or standing? Which is easier? Stand still or wrestling? Y'all don't watch wrestling, that's why. Boom, yeah. Okay? Which is harder, blood and all that? Or stand? Just stand. Stand, right? Why am I saying this? Because there are people who read Ephesians 6 in terms of warfare, and all they see is that one word wrestle that appears, which is actually used as an illustration. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's all it says. It appears one time, and that one time becomes wrestling. The Christian message, right? But the word stand appears in how many times? 3 times. Stand, having the whole armor of God. Stand, therefore. All right? Stand, having done all, to stand. Stand appears 3 times. Stand is what? Do nothing, stand. Walk in the Spirit. Our daily life is a walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? Walk. Now watch me. You can walk the way you want to walk. But walk is a natural process. Walk. Amen? Come on. You don't say, oh man, after this I must get up. I must work all the way home. I must work to the bus stop. I must work to the car park. Wow. I must work. No, walking is not work. Walking is cool, man. Walking is a process. It's a Christian life. It's not a struggle. It's never a struggle. Even against the powers of darkness, stand. Stand means what? You're on victory. Let's say this stage, whole stage is victory. Everything that God has provided is this stage. All right? Stand means stand your ground. The powers of darkness are outside. Don't think the devil is trying to put sickness on you. No, the devil is trying to make you think you're not healed. Stand by saying you are healed already. You're not trying to get healed. You are on healing ground. You are healed. You're not going to become righteous. You are righteous already. So the struggle is to move you off your stand. Move you off your stand. Ah, I'm not healed. Really? Really? Oh yeah, I think, oh, I don't feel healed. Eh? Yeah, huh, okay. What is it? Oh, yeah, is it? Yeah, I look pale. Then he got you. You understand not? You didn't stand. You will move off your stand. Stand your ground. Amen. Stand. You are the righteousness of God. Stand strong in that. Amen. Now, I'm going to close with a portion of scripture about stand. In fact, you'll find this throughout the Bible. Even the Old Testament, God tells His people the way to some of the greatest miracles in the Bible. Opening of the Red Sea. What did God say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, we can't believe that. We can't believe for one moment standing still is the answer. Because when we stand still, the world says stand still and nothing will happen. People overtake you. And our lame and our cow will climb the ladder above you. You know, and you'll be left behind. And that's what, and they are right if you don't have God. But you have God. And your standing still releases Him. Your working hinders Him. Amen. So you stand still. God told all the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So they grab one another. They all stand still. They grab one another like this. You know, let's stand still, brother. I'm about to fall. Stand, brother. All you gotta do is stand. Stand and see. That's what God did. God opened up the Red Sea. And all the temptation in their life was what? To work, do something, run back to Pharaoh and make a negotiation over something. You know, offer yourself as slave or whatever. And everything against them to do something. But they said, stand still, stand still. And the brother, no brother, stand still brother. No, I think I'll surrender to Pharaoh, I'll run away. No, stand still brother. All of them stand still. And they just see God open up the Red Sea. Amen. Peter walked on the water. As long as he looked at Jesus, seeing the Yeshua of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord, he was above his problems, above the waves, above the tsunami. Because when you see Jesus above it, all you got to do nothing. When you see Jesus, all right, you are elevated. Amen? Can I have a good amen? And that's why preaching does this. Preaching, you know, makes you see Jesus afresh. And all you gotta do is just sit still, stand still, and you see. And all of a sudden, your life is transformed. Amen. It gives you hands and feet to even serve Jesus. But it comes through preaching. Can I have a good amen? Now we look at Joshua, and finally they are about to invade the promised. They are about to not invade. Invade is the wrong word, because the promised land is theirs. They are about to cross River Jordan into the promised land. Okay, 40 long years they have waited, and they are about to cross River Jordan. Just a river, all right. But their timing was such that God purposely allowed this to happen, that the Jordan River during this time of the year overflowed its banks. Overflowed its banks. That means it was a time of flooding. And instead of just being a small river, as you would see when you go to Israel, all right, during that time of year, a lot of rain, all right, and it was very huge. It was overflowing its banks, the Bible says. You can read all about it in Joshua chapter 3. The Bible says it was overflowing its banks. Then God gave a very peculiar instruction to Joshua. Don't forget, this is how to enter your promised land, literally. And God said to Joshua, you shall command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Now, you might not realize this, okay? But later on we'll read that during that time, the waters was overflowing. Now, look up here, church. Do you know what's overflowing? Have you seen rivers that are overflowing after a heavy rain overseas in some countries? It is not still. It is running. All right? And you don't know where the real river is and where the banks are, because it's a huge river now, and it's like floodgates being released. Amen? And God is saying, tell the priests, step in and stand still. How many understand? It goes against everything to stand still when the waters are rushing. It goes against everything inside them to stand still, to him that works not. It goes against human nature. Your flesh wants to run. Your flesh wants to do. God says, tell the priest, stand still. They are about to cross. This is how you're going to inherit your promised land. Stand still. Let's see what really happened. Okay? Down. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, notice the way it says, the sole of their feet, what? Rests in the waters. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were deep in the brim of the water. Look at the bracket. For Jordan overflows all his banks all the time of harvest. Now think of it. The moment they step in, they felt. It wasn't like some of your cartoons I see, Jessica's cartoons, something you see, you know. It's a small river and then they step like a still water and then got open up. No, it was like this. You ever see those animal shows, you know, those stupid horn, they always get eaten by crocodiles, man. Willoughbys. They always have these willoughby shows, you know. A group of willoughbys running through the water is running. And some of them afloat, some drown, all right. Some of them eaten up by crocodiles. Y'all don't watch this kind of thing. Never mind. All right. Maybe God tell me to watch so I can illustrate like this, lah. Okay. Y'all go to Singapore Zoo, I know. Now, imagine when they carry the ark, when they step in, you must visualize the whole thing. They see the waters running real fast, real hard, and they are carrying something on their shoulder, you know, and they must step in by faith, or else, boom! How many understand that? Or else the Bible will not say, for the Jordan overflows its banks. So God is saying, go against the grain of the natural. Tell the priest to step in. And you know what happened? They overflow. When they step in, see what happened? When the priest touched, the moment they touched, the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeretan, 7 miles away. And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, the Dead Sea, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. You know something? Stepping into the promised land after 40 years was accomplished by standing still. Somebody stood still and somebody walked right in. Somebody dare to let go. One of the things you learn about swimming is this. The more you struggle, you drown. All right? And what did your instructor say? Let go. Relax, brother. Hey, brother, relax. Relax one corner. Finally, fast forward, you know. He brings flowers and all that. I told you to relax. So, okay. Okay, never mind. Listen. They say, I mean, expert swimmers, I must look at them. Is it true? They say that struggling is the worst. You know, even to save someone, it's easier to save someone who has fainted in the water. Fainted means what? He that works not. Amen? Or you can say another way, he that stands still. Floating along. Easier to save than those who are. And this is where people don't even know the Bible know this saying. You know, you hear this saying all the time. You feel like saying, tell me who said it. You know, I hear so many times on TV, my relative, all over. I think your relative is all. God help those who help themselves. Nonsense! It's the opposite. God cannot help you because you are helping yourself. God help those who help themselves. Well, you know the Bible says God help those who help themselves. Where? It's not from the Bible. It is not from the Bible. Where is it from? It's from Benjamin Franklin, a statesman of U.S. who lived about more than 100 years ago. Benjamin Franklin. God help those who help themselves. You meet people and one of the first things they tell you, God help those who help themselves. And it tells you straight away why the people of the world don't see miracles. But you, a child of God, you help yourself for what? When you adopt the philosophy, do not be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world thinks. Now, they are right. They don't do anything, nothing happens. They don't have God. You do. And He's a covenant-keeping God. And He appears before you and say, look at me, I am Almighty. So you ask, Lord, if you're almighty, I don't even see of your might in my life. Because as long as you have the might, I will not. Not that I cannot, I will not. Why? God respects your free choice. If you want to resolve that situation, He'll let you resolve. Until you cannot, you let go. You say, God. Now some people, I'm not there yet, don't look at me and think that Apostle Prince has arrived. I'm preaching to myself as much as you. Like I said, the teacher has taken over. But I'm telling you this, church, in those areas where I have let go completely, He has taken over completely. Those who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. Amen. Amen. Then we connive. You know, we cannot pay the debt, so we borrow from A to pay B, whom we borrow from. Now we got to borrow from C to pay A, because we had to pay B to borrow from A. And now we owe C. And once you OC, you don't do it, you see. You know, you're bottom D. And there people do this kind of thing. And I've met people like this. I've met people in this church. I've met business people. And, you know, I go out with them sometimes. Down through the years, you won't know who they are. I don't think if I've gone out with you, it's you, okay? I've gone out with many. As you can see, one thing good about a church of 11,000 people is that you can illustrate and no one thinks it's them. No one knows for sure. And sometimes when people talk, you know, I've heard this come out of my mouth before. You know, it all boils down to, you got to know, Pastor Prince, how to use money that's not yours in this world. In Singapore, people got to learn how to use money that's not yours. Now look at them. I know he's going to be in trouble. And not long after that, in trouble. And then I tell people, you know, it's okay, you know, to touch overdraft. As long as I said, trouble. Next thing you know, counseling that trouble about 2 years later, 3 years later. People think they're smart. You know, you got to psycho people. Everything is about psychoing people. At the end, honestly, I tell the truth. God is my witness. That person who said that spent nights like a psycho, crying. He told me never cried before, all right, because something's happened. But a few years earlier, in my presence, said, you got to know how to psycho people. I tell you, as a pastor, you see all kinds. Thank God I see many business people. Pastor, it's not me, Pastor. All this, I tell you, is all God. It's all God. That's why I honor Him with my tie. Because I know, you know, there's no need to be afraid to give to God. He helped me so many times, Pastor. And all this debt you see clear, it's not me, you know, Pastor. It's God. And I've met many. Thank God these kind of people are more in the church. May their tribe increase. Pastor, I tell you, you know, but there are those who still, you know, yeah, believe in the message. Jesus is their savior. But when it comes to certain areas, I know what to do.
I am almighty.
Amen. And then you watch movies, you know, the hero is always alone.
You know, I work alone. Sorry, I work alone.
What is a cowboy who ran up in the sunset, you know? Called a lone ranger who got tonto.
You know, Incredibles. I work alone.
All the heroes work alone. Whether it's an Arnold or it's a Sylvester, you know? They all work alone. But I tell you something. It does not work in real life. Their real life, if they do not depend on God, the greatest blessings will never be theirs. Amen. Even for those who make it somehow, there were those who helped them along the way. But God doesn't want you and I to trust second causes, circumstances, or nature. God wants you and I to trust Him as Almighty God. If we really meditate on this, if you forget everything else, I'm going to close. Forget anything else tonight, don't forget this. What He said to Abraham after 13 years. Abraham, I'm Almighty God. We can even say, God, you are almighty, but in our heart we trust second causes, human instruments. We make known our needs in front of people who are rich. For what? Amen. Why do we hint? Because we don't trust God as almighty. Amen. Are you listening? Now, Pastor Prince, you know, when we trust God as Almighty, don't you think that God can use people? God uses things? Yes, He does. But when your trust is in Him as Almighty, there are times He will use people. There are times He will use donkeys. There are times He will use animals. There are times He will use the bird, the sun, the moon, the stars, tsunami, natural events. Someone's forgetfulness, someone's sleeplessness. These are second causes. You don't have to put your eyes on second causes. You have to put your eyes on Almighty God. And how He does it, all right? Don't worry about it. Now, when He brings an instrument who says, God told me to give you something, take away. I'm trusting Almighty God. That's stupid, you know what I'm saying? All right? At least tell Him to put it in the church. Amen? Can I share your daughter's story? He told me yesterday, Pastor Mark, that his little daughter, there was a financial challenge that he was faced not too long ago. And his daughter knew about it, probably heard hearing you speak to your wife, the mother. And his daughter came to him and said, Daddy, can I give you some money? And what the daughter had left in the bank was $70, $80. So the daughter took out, she said she wanted to give the dad $50. $50. So the dad said he didn't want to accept it, but the Lord spoke to him. Give her a chance to sow. And the daughter did that. 3 days. 3 days right after that. Somebody in our church knows nothing about the daughter and came to him and said, you know, he feels impressed in his heart to give $300, not to Pastor Mark, not to his wife, to his daughter. $300. 3 days after that little girl sold in his daddy's life.
this guy has good ground. Even the daughter gets immediate result. 3 days, $300. And the guy knows nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, God can use people. He can even use your daughter. He can even use your child. He can use anybody to speak to you. But your eyes must be on Him. If your eyes on people, Pastor Prince can. Pastor Prince, wow, you know, pastor over 11,000 member church. He got a lot of influence on people. Like, can help me. Like,
Pastor Prince!
Ah, down here! Down! Down here! Have you met people like that? Now, for me, I'm the other extreme. I've met people who are well off, and I don't want to get too close sometimes. And God had to rebuke me. God says, when I walk on earth, I got no problems inviting myself to Zacchaeus' house. And he was a rich man. So both rich and poor needs me. So I was rebuked a number of years ago. Because I went the other extreme. But thanks be to God, there's a new generation rising up in the land. Now, when you trust God, sometimes He'll speak to you in a dream, in a clear. But don't, I hate to tell people what God will do sometimes. Because say, tonight. Dream. No dream, Lord. Pastor Prince, nightmare. Serves you right, because you're looking at second causes. You're not looking at God. How many understand? Can I just tell you that God is telling us, I want you to trust me in such a way, if I don't come true for you, you are true. That kind of thing. All right? Can we just trust God like that? Amen. And if you trust God, like meditate on I am Almighty God and say, God, I'm going to put myself on the line. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Nothing happens. Because you are Almighty God. What can I do? You must have the attitude, what can I do? God doesn't defend me, for example. People say lying things about me. God doesn't defend. What can I do? What can I do? Look at this hand. So nice. So slim. So artistic. I mean, so small. What can I do? But God's hand is so big. When God blesses me, no one can do anything. If God defend me, all right, who can touch me? If God doesn't, who cannot? But if God does, who can? There must be an attitude. Amen. Let's take this seriously. Let's not play games with God. And let's be alert. When God does bring instruments, you will know it in your heart. You will know in your heart, I have sent Him. I have sent this dream. I have sent this help. I have sent that. You will know. But you will know because your eye is not on it. Your eye is on Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed.